I'm alive. told every lightning bolt where it should go. What's in heavenly storehouses laden with snow? You imagine the sun and give source to its light, yet conceals it to bring us the coolness of night.
remain standing. Let's bless the Lord.
Thank you for the opportunity to be back in Arkansas, and I want to welcome those who are watching at the Springdale campus. Of course, most of you know I'm a psychologist, so I'm here to help you. Some of you on the fast track. How many are on the fast track? Let's just check it out. Some of you on the fast track. How many feel like you're tied to the track? You need that much help today? We live in a stressful, fast world, don't we? I mean, just think about it. You want to do your finances, it's QuickBooks. You want to call somebody at Sprint. You want to send something, it's Federal Express. You want to eat, it's fast food. You want to diet, it's Slim Fast. You eat at home, it's Minute Rice. You want to have hot chocolate, it's Nestle's Quick. You want to get your picture developed, it's Fast Photo. You want to get your clothes clean, it's 1 hour cleaners. You want to get your car fixed, it's 10-minute lube. You go to the airport, it's Rapicello. You get the hotel, it's Express Check-In. Even when you want to relax and get out your swimsuit, what do they call it? Speedo. It's a fast world, isn't it? It's fast. So what we're going to do, we're going to, just for today, let's just stop. When's the last time you just stopped? I travel a lot, so I meet a lot of nice highway patrolmen around the country. I met one in Arkansas, nice man. He said he had been waiting for me all day. I said, I got here as soon as I could. Guy the other day pulled me over, said, Dr. Lauer, you forgot to stop at the stop sign. I said, I really did. He said, you really didn't. I said, I slowed down. He said, it's not the same. I said, it really is. He said, it really isn't. I said, almost the same. He said, no, it isn't. I said, yes, it is. He said, get out of the car. He started beating me with his billy stick. He said, you want me to stop it or just slow it down? I said, officer, you know, there really is a difference here, isn't there? He said, about $150 difference. So we're going to stop today, and we're talking about a balanced and blessed life. And to do that, you have to deal with the stresses that we have in our life. Now, we're going to deal with stress not from the outside, but from the inside. Now, there's all kind of stress instruments out there. If you go to a psychologist, there's a Holmes-Rey stress test that actually tells you how much stress you're under. Some are under more stress than others. And they actually give stress units for like different things that happen. For Christmas, it's nice, but it's stressful. So there's like 20 stress units. The most stress units, of course, is the death of a mate. That's 100 stress units. And let me tell you, these can add up quickly because, for example, death of a mate is 100, detention in jail, 63. If your mate dies and they think you did it, that's 163 right there. You understand how it adds up quickly. So we're not going to deal with outside stress. Not much you can do about that. We're going to approach it from the inside out. Shakespeare said this, the problem's not in the stars, the problem's in ourselves. If you don't read Shakespeare, Pogo said the same thing. We have met the enemy and the enemy is us. So we're going to deal it from the inside out. And the reason is because we've discovered that personality really plays a factor more so in the last few years than we ever thought, that the mind and the body are definitely connected. There were two cardiologists in San Francisco. They were trying to research why people get sick. They weren't really obtaining any what we call statistical significance. And so just for a kind of a break, they asked a man to come in and reupholster their office. As he was leaving, he said, now, I think I've noticed something that may help you with your patients. I think I know why maybe some people are getting sick. Well, you can imagine two cardiologists here, a working class man, but maybe he'll lower the rate. And so they said, what do you think you've discovered? He said, well, chairs are my life. I've been in the poster business 38 years. And I've noticed that the backs of the chairs in your office are the best backs I've ever seen. I mean, it's like they've never been used. Now, I replaced them because you want to replace, but they were wonderful backs. And this part of the chair, I mean, it's like nobody ever sits on it. But the front part of your chairs, they're the worst fronts I've ever seen in 38 years of poster business. And I believe the people who are sick, the patients who come to see you, are people who never sit back in the back of the chair and relax. It's like it's never been used. The people who are sick, the ones who come to see you, they sit on the front of the seat. And not only that, they're so stressed out, they have rubbed that thing down to the wood. And I think you ought to give personality tests to these people. Well, he left and they turned to each other and said, I think he's got something there. They started giving personality tests, and they discovered, of course, what's now famous, the type A personality. We've added some anger to it and some aggressive scales to it, but there appears to be a personality that gets not only stressed, but gets distressed and actually can cause you to get sick. It's unfortunately the American personality. Unfortunately, it's the Northwest Arkansas personality. It's do more and more in less and less time. It's we got to win, we got to be, we got to do it. And so it's finding the quickest lane. You ever see these ladies at the grocery store? I mean, they look like NFL linebackers trying to find the quick lane, don't they? You get out there in traffic switching lanes back and got to find the one that's getting there quickest. And by the way, let me just help you right here. The law of lanes is this. Whichever lane you're in slows down. The reason it slows down is because you're in it. And when you switch lanes, you'll just slow down the other lane. So stay where you are. It'll help us all, okay? But that's, we want to get the fastest one, don't we? We want to win. Let me just say we just go over and play a little ping pong. We start hitting it back and forth. You'll say, let's play a game. And I'd say, you know, instead of competing today, why don't we cooperate today? Why don't we see how many times we can hit it back and forth without missing? Maybe break a record for hitting it back and forth. And you say, what? Are you a communist? I mean, this is America. I mean, we've got to have a winner or loser. We don't know who had fun. I mean, that's the way we do it. We got to compete. I mean, you don't believe that? Just go to the church softball game. New guy out there, just a new Christian, just loving Jesus. Isn't this fun? Oh, missed one. That's okay. Just loving. Oh, missed another. That's okay. Oh, missed that one too. Just loving Jesus. Oh, isn't this great? 11 to nothing, but we loving Jesus. God grabs him by the throat. If you miss another, I'll squeeze you. The blood runs out your ears. And that's the pastor, you understand? Who cares about loving Jesus? We got to beat the Methodists. This is softball, buddy. And by the way, nothing wrong with competition. Nothing wrong with winning. The problem is we get too identified with it. And what happens, our identification gets wrapped up in not who we are. Our identification gets wrapped up in what we do. And we never can do enough. It's like juggling. You know, you do a few things and you get some attention for it. And people tell you how wonderful you are. They pay you for it. And you're doing good. You're getting promoted. And oh, you're well. And yeah, can you do this too? Oh, yeah, I can do this. Yeah, can you do that? Oh, I can do that. Yeah, can you do this? Oh, yeah, I can. Can you do this? Oh, yeah, I can do that. Can, and pretty soon you think, I can't do this anymore. And then you just drop it all. That's called burnout. You've known people like that. I mean, they just quit the church or they get a divorce. Or they quit their job and open up a beach, hot dog stand down at the beach. Or they just go off the deep end and run naked in the woods. And you think, well, what happened to that person? One minute they're clothed in their right mind. The next minute they're bent over barking like a dog. You know, what happened? Well, they got burned out. They just couldn't do it anymore. But here's what happens. A lot of people are not on, they're out of balance. They're not out of balance on that end. They're out of balance on the other end. Those are the people who cause stress for most of us. They're just slow. You know those people. And by the way, they usually marry the other type people because God likes to laugh. That's one reason. But, you know, they're just slow. It takes them like 2 hours to watch 60 Minutes. You know those kind of people. I mean, they get USA Yesterday. They're just behind. You know, they get an express lane at the grocery store with 11 items in the 10-item express lane, and then they write a check, just taking their time. I mean, their idea of a formal evening is watching Wheel of Fortune with their shoes on. I mean, they're just slow. If they go any slower, they're backing up. And you don't want to be that kind of person. They don't burn out. They rust out. They never accomplish anything. We want to be the person that's balanced, that doesn't burn out or rust out, that we last out, that we last out. How do we do that? Well, here's what Jesus said, Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor, nothing wrong with working, labor, hey, it's good for us. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. I believe that's the people who work and the people who've been worked on. You ever been worked on? A lot of us have. So come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I believe a lot of that's physical rest he's talking about there. But then he goes and says, take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I'm a psychologist. I've worked with lots of people. And let me just tell you, it's a lot easier to get rest for your body than it is rest for your souls. Jesus promises both. I will give you rest for soul. And then he says this, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, doesn't that sound like a blessed and balanced life? My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Jesus says, come. And part of you during this four-week series, you're a seeker and you're not ready to make any decisions yet. And so I just want you to come. Just come and be open to what God has to say. Some of you are at the point now where you need to receive that gift of Jesus Christ. Others have already done that. And for you, this series is about learning to be the person that's balanced and blessed that God wants you to be. So we're going to help you do that. Let's take that word relax, R-E-L-A-X. R stands for renew. The Bible says you have to constantly renew your mind. Are you going to be conformed to this world and you'll start thinking like this world and this world will stress you out? So you have to constantly renew your mind. You see, if you're not careful, you start to drift in the way you think. I love to go to the beach. I believe deep down God's called me to preach, teach, and go to the beach. I just like to go to the beach. And when I'm there, I jump in the ocean. I mean, I just like to jump in the ocean. You know, sometimes it's November and Penny said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to jump in the ocean. I just like it. People say, well, what about sharks? Well, if you hear the music, get out of the water. But otherwise, just enjoy it. And so I love to go. And I remember the first time I got to go in the ocean by myself. My parents, they stayed on the beach, and a friend of mine, we went in the water by ourselves, and they were just stayed on the beach. And we were just having fun by ourselves. And after about 30 minutes, we look up to see where my parents, and my parents, they picked up the umbrella and the towels, and they moved a half a mile down the beach. I thought, they're trying to lose me, my parents. I knew that. And then I looked at the hotel we're staying in, and the hotel has moved a half a mile down the beach. And I thought, wait a minute. Hotels can't move. I realized I moved. I drifted, and I didn't even realize it. You see, some of you drifted in your thinking, and you don't even realize it. And that's why you're feeling so stressed. And one thing we need to renew our mind about is the goodness of God. You see, we come to church, and those of you who come a lot, if you're not careful, you focus on the holiness of God. And we should, because the Bible says he's holy, holy, holy. But if you're really honest and authentic, focusing on the holiness of God doesn't encourage you. It actually scares the liver out of you, doesn't it? Because deep down, we know we're not holy. So we have to always balance the holiness of God with the goodness of God. The Bible says in Psalms 100, this God is a good God. Why? Because his mercy is everlasting. That's how good this God is. My favorite theologian is Dennis the Menace. Anybody know Dennis? Deep down, I'm real shallow, so I read people like Dennis the Menace. And Dennis is over at Mrs. Wilson's house. Remember Mrs. Wilson? And a friend's with him. And Mrs. Wilson's just giving him cookies. And the friend doesn't get it. He looks up at Dennis and says, why is she giving us cookies? Does she think we're good? And Dennis looks and said, no, she's my neighbor. She knows we're no good. And then the theology. Then Dennis says this. Mrs. Wilson doesn't give us cookies because we're good. Mrs. Wilson gives us cookies because she's good. My friend, you get all stressed out thinking you're here because you're good, keeping it all going. You're not here because you're good. You're here because he's good. Matter of fact, let me tell you how good he is. He's so good, he sent his son to come into your world to make you holy, holy, holy. That's how good this God is. So we renew our mind. E stands for enjoy. Grateful people become great people. Ungrateful people become hateful people and destroy everything around them. Learn to be a grateful person. And how do you do that? You do that by focus. It's not the facts. Facts are there's something wrong with everything. It's what you choose to focus on. My daughter, Brianne, I was going to teach her how to ride the bicycle. The fall of the year, I took her to Wet n Wild Water Park, not a car in the parking lot, just this huge parking lot. I said, look at all this asphalt, Breanne. You're going to be a bike rider just like your big sister. I had to learn to ride on sand and rocks, but you're going to go fast on this asphalt. You're going to feel the wind against your face. You're going to be a bike rider just like your big sister. She was excited. I was excited. We got that bike out. I said, look at all that asphalt. She said, Daddy, what's that way down there? I said, oh, don't worry about that. You're going to be a bike rider. Well, Daddy, that's a pole. Well, I know that's a pole, but look at the asphalt. You're going to be a bike rider. Well, Daddy, what if I hit the pole? Yeah, I hit the pole, Randall. Look at all this asphalt. Well, if I hit the pole, it's going to hurt. It's not going to hurt because you're not going to hit the pole. Now get on a bicycle. You know how to teach a kid how to ride a bike, don't you? Run like crazy, feel the wind against your face. You're a bike rider. What if I hit the pole? Yeah, I got the pole, Brianna. Go, go. And I let her go, and she heads straight for the pole. Daddy, I'm headed for the pole. Well, turn it to the right. Look at all that asphalt. Just turn it to the right. Daddy, I can't turn it right. I'm headed for the pole. Well, then turn it to the left. Look at it. Just turn. Daddy, I'm going to. She mutilated that pole. By the time I got there, lips stuck out, tears in her eyes. I told you I was going to hit the pole. I said, I know, Brianna, because you focused on the pole. Now, let me tell you about your life. I don't know you personally, but hey, I know about your life. I've had psychological training, you understand. I know. About 80 to 85% of your life is smooth sailing. Feel the wind against your face, not a problem in the world. But 15 to 20% of your life is problems, difficulties, poles, polettes, jerks, jerkettes, just life. That's everybody's life. Folks, we live in a fallen world. There's something wrong with everything. But if you're not careful, that's what you start to focus on. And that's when you start to get stressed. You might have heard about Grandma and Grandpa. They took their grandkids on vacation, turned on the interstate, saw this big sign, Natural Park. They thought, oh, that'd be good for the grandkids, nature trails, things like that. They pull in and realize this really is a natural park. I think politically correct would be a clothing optional lifestyle. Some of you may know it as a nudist camp. Realize this is Arkansas. For you bubbas, I'm talking naked people. You understand what I'm saying? So these grandparents have their grandkids with them, and they've already pulled in. So they're trying to get the car turned around. They can't get it turned around. Here comes four people on bicycles, dressed as jaybirds. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, not us coming right at them. They can't get the car turned around. They're trying to put their hands up so the kids can't see, but you know, grandkids, they're jumping up the back.
Look at those people on those bikes. Look at them. They don't have
their safety helmets on. Now, how could they focus on that? Because that's what they've been taught all their life to focus on. See, the Bible says we're to focus on things that are praiseworthy, the good stuff. Yeah, I'm in about 60 churches a year. If this is a typical church, I guarantee you there's a group of people who come to church to talk about the problems and the poles and the poles and the problems. Here a pole, there a pole, everywhere a pole, pole. They talk about it's too loud, it wasn't loud, I couldn't hear, it's too hot, it's too cold. They didn't sing this, they sang that. Why didn't they do this? It's flag day, the flag wasn't big enough, it's prayer day, they didn't pray long enough. Just mad. I speak to businesses, same way in business. You got a group come talk about problems, same way in families. Every family tree has a sap. I guarantee you got a pole in your family. Oh, look at me that way. You got a pole in your family. Every one of them does. Instead of joining Christmas dinner, what did you do? I know what you did. You talked about the pole, didn't you? One if the pole comes. One if the pole doesn't come. One if the pole comes drunk like last year. One if the pole brings that other pole, her pole. What are we going to do? And life becomes miserable, doesn't it? Why? Because you're focused on the wrong thing. Bible says focus on things that are praiseworthy. You know what the Bible says? Don't even speak a negative word. Every word you speak should be a word of edification, a good word. See, God knows if you look for good and you speak good, you're going to have a blessed and balanced life. So you got to renew your mind. You got to enjoy what you have. And the way you do that, L stands for learn. You have to learn to be content. You have to learn to be content. I have these are pretty nice pants. They're Josh, these are linen pants. See, they wrinkle all the time, but that's good. But they're better pants than these. They're better pants. And if I'm not careful, I won't enjoy these pants by looking at other pants. Say, well, you got better pants than I have. There's always another level. And if you're not careful, you're not going to enjoy the level that you have by looking at the other levels. We went to speak in Hawaii, in Maui. They paid for Penny and I, all expenses paid, and stayed in the Hyatt, put us in the Hyatt Regency Hotel to speak to this group. It's a tough job, but somebody has to do it. And so I told my wife, I really like this hotel, and maybe one day I'm going to bring you back like a second honeymoon, and I'm going to pay for it. I'm not going to work. I'm not going to speak like I usually do, and we're just going to enjoy it. Well, at the time, I didn't know how much it cost because somebody else was paying, so it took a little longer than what I thought, but eventually had a trip to Hawaii. Maui, staying in that same Hyatt Regency. I've been there about 3 or 4 days, really enjoying it. And a buddy of mine, he's a rich guy named George. George calls over and says, Charles, where are you? I said, I'm in Hawaii. He said, where? Maui. He said, oh, man, I was there about a month ago. You ought to go see this hotel called the Grand Wailea Resort. I mean, it's incredible. And so happened one day, Pitty and I were out driving, haven't seen the sign, Grand Wailea Resort. I said, well, let's just want George to talk about it. Let's go look at it. So we pull in there, and you're talking about gorgeous. You're talking about luxurious. I mean, they charge you for everything. You stayed in those places, hadn't you? I mean, they like, you looking at those ducks? Yeah, that'd be $5. I mean, those kind of places. But, I mean, it was unbelievable how nice it was. I mean, we got the tour and got in our car. I was pulling back in the parking lot of the Hyatt Regency. And you know what my mind tried to tell my body? You're staying in a dump. You're staying in a dump. And if I would let my mind control my body in that negative way, I would end up having a miserable vacation. Some of you are having a miserable life. Why? Because you're not enjoying where you are. You see, you're trying to be where you're not. Enjoy. Learn to be content. Most of our lives, we've lived in the city. And I have 3 daughters. Most of you know that. And they always wanted a dog. And so you'd have to get them a dog. And so you have a city dog, which is right up there with leprosy and root canals, because a city dog, his entire life is, he's obsessed with trying to get out of the fence. That's all he thinks about from morning to night. How can I get out of this fence? That's what a city dog thinks about. And if you're the daddy of a group of girls with a city dog, your job is to keep the dog in the fence. And so because he's obsessed with getting out, you got to be obsessed with keeping him in. And so you got to get the fence high enough so he can't get over it, low enough so he can't get under it, strong enough so he can't get through it. And he got to get the gate tight enough so he can't squeeze through there. And finally, you have it fortified. He cannot get out of the fence. And he waits until the back door and the front door open at the same time, and he shoots through the house and gets out in the neighborhood, and you got to chase a stupid dog down and take him and put him back in the fence, and it starts all over again. It's a miserable existence being the daddy of a city dog. You ever been to the country? Dogs sit on porches. They just sit there. There's no fence. They just sit there. And I promise you, they're smiling, aren't they? I mean, you look at a country dog, he's smiling sitting on that porch. Why? Because he's learned to be content. Enjoy where you are. It's a gift of God. So, got to renew your mind. Got to enjoy what you have. You do that by learning to be content. A stands for authentic. You're always going to be stressed out trying to pretend to do things that doesn't flow from who you are. You see, you have 2 choices in life. You can serve people out of who you are, or you can try to impress people with what you do. Most people try to impress people with what they do. You've been around those people. You try to do this. If you've done this, they've done that. If you've been there, they've been there. You know, always try to impress you with what they do. There's an interesting scripture in the Bible. The Bible says that Jesus, knowing where he came from and where he was going, laid aside his garments and washed the feet of his disciples. Now, I'm a preacher's kid. I used to always listen to that story, and I would think, what? He washed their feet? Why didn't the disciples wash their own stinking feet? I mean, good night. It's Jesus there. I think I know. The disciples were just a bunch of preachers. They were trying to impress each other with what they were doing. You've heard preachers talk. If you've done this, we've done this, we've done this, we've done that, we've done, you know, and I didn't have time to notice stinking feet. But see, Jesus, knowing who he was, Jesus didn't impress anybody. He was just Jesus. He was able to notice stinking feet. You're always going to be stressed out, folks, trying to impress people with what you do. What has God created you to be? You see, we get conformed to this world. You know, this world tells you things like this. You can be anything you want to be. This is America. You can't be anything you want to be. You can only be what you designed to be. I wanted to be an NBA star. I'm short and slow. I'm not going to be an NBA star. I wasn't designed to be that. You find out what you were designed to be. The physical, psychological, spiritual, a lot alike. If you take a seed, like a cantaloupe seed, you put it in the ground, it's going to be a cantaloupe. Take a watermelon seed, put it in the ground, fertilize, it's going to be a watermelon. Now, that cantaloupe seed can say, this is America. I don't want to be a cantaloupe. I want to be a watermelon. They're bigger. It's more exciting. They go to more picnics. They get a lot more publicity. I'm going to be a watermelon. So this cantaloupe makes up its mind. I'm going to be a watermelon. I'm going to get some of those Robert Schuller tapes, and I'm going to play it over and over again. Possibility watermelon. Possibility watermelon. I'm going to get some of those Zig Ziglar tapes. Positively watermelon. Positively watermelon. I'm going to get some of those Stephen Covey books. Develop the 7 highly effective habits of watermelons. I'm going to get some of those Joel Osteen tapes, and I'm going to be an anointed, highly favored, blessed watermelon. Anointed, highly favored, blessed watermelon. I'm going to get some of those subliminal, subterrestrial. I'm going to play it underneath the ground while that watermelon, while that cantaloupe sleeps. I'm going to play watermelon thoughts, watermelon thoughts, watermelon thoughts. I'm going to go to some new age hotbed, channel up some 400-year-old guru, let him sit bow-legged, naked, hum, contemplate his navel, hold a crystal, and hum, watermelon thoughts, hum, watermelon thoughts. I'm going to go to Tony Robbins' seminar, walk on fire, to prove I'm capable of being a watermelon. I'm going to go to psychotherapy, get in touch with my inner child. Maybe my inner child was a watermelon at one time. Now, you can do all that. But when the cantaloupe seed comes out of the ground, what's it going to be? Cantaloupe. It's going to be a stressful, dysfunctional, sorry, no good cantaloupe. Because all you've done to it. But it's going to be a cantaloupe. Why? Because that's what it was designed to be. Find out what you were created to be. Serve out of who you are. Don't get stressed out of trying to impress people with what you do. Be authentic. So you renew our minds. We learn to enjoy the level. We learn to be content. We're authentic in serving out of who we are. And then you want to relax. X. There's not a good word that starts with X. You ever notice that? So we're going to use exchange. You exchange your stress for God's strength. You exchange your work for his work. Why? Because his work is finished. His work's finished. When he said, it is finished, he died for all your sins. All your sins were in the future. It is finished. It's done. It's taken care of. And not only that, your sins are forgiven. You get credit for every righteous deed Jesus did. It's on your account. So you can relax, you see. You can understand what God has accomplished for you in that exchange. Your stress for his strength. Now, how does that happen? Well, the fact of the matter is, you get stressed, I get stressed, because we never do our best, really. I mean, we don't. I mean, we inherit this earth suit, this Adam suit, and because of that, we're always messing up. I mean, we just do. I do, you do. The earth suit, that's why the Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian ever lived, says the things I want to do, I don't do. What I don't want to do, I end up doing. That's not a teenager, that's the Apostle Paul. So we got this Adam suit, and the Bible understands. God understands that. The Bible says that you are made of dirt. That means God knows you're dumb as mud. That's why God knows. And so he understands that. So he understands that you never measure up. You never do your best. Two farmers are sitting on the porch. They're looking out over the horizon there, and one of the farmer's dogs is chasing a coyote. And the other farmer says, "Your dog's a pretty fast dog." And the old farmer said, "He's not doing his best." And sure enough, about 5 minutes later, the dog is coming the other direction, and there's 10 coyotes chasing the dog. And the old farmer says, "Now he's doing his best." Fact of the matter is, I don't ever do my best, and you don't either. You ever had something that you promised God you'd never do, and you did it again? We all have. He sent his best, Jesus, so you can rest. The work has been completed. Here's what gets you stressed out. We think we got to have more faith, got to love God more. That just stresses you out even more. You got to let God love you more. You see, it's not how much faith you have, it's what your faith is in. I fly a lot. I go around the country. I like to fly in the big planes. I'll just be honest with you. I just feel safer, and they give you all those safety, you know, things like when red lights lead to white lights, exit doors, and I always wondered about that at 40,000 feet. Is exit door really what I need? But they make you feel secure. Of course, then they give you some of those other things, like I got in trouble the other day. My you know, that seat, my pocket thing, was not in its upright and locked position. And I just forgot. And boy, she read me the riot act. I mean, how could you forget that? And I'm thinking, is this really that big a deal? I mean, have you ever read where a plane, fiery ball hits a mountain, but 20 people with their trays in their upright and locked position, I mean, they walk right out of that thing. But the other people, well, they're gone, you know. And so you know, they say weird stuff, but they make you feel safe in those planes. Well, but then those small planes, you know, the farther you go, the smaller they get. You know, when your window seat and your aisle seat are the same seat, you've been in those. Cut on the reading light, the plane slows down. You've been there. I mean, I've been there too, and confess sins I've just thought about doing. But those I can handle. Here's what I can't handle. When a business or church or whatever call and they say, I want Charles to come speak. And it's usually a church, and they say, we want him to come a certain time. And we look on the map. We say, you know, Delta doesn't fly there. American doesn't fly there. And they'll always say this: "Oh, that's okay. We got a man in our church. He has a plane." Those are scary words. Scary words. We now at the office try to ask him a few things, like, does he wear goggles when he flies that plane? Does it have a roll bar? You know, does he do crop dusting? Does he ever stop and ask directions? You know, stuff like that, just to kind of check it out. And finally, I'll reach a point where I say, I'm not coming. I'm just not doing it. And then they get spiritual. You know how church people are. They spiritualize everything. They bring God out when they want you to do something that they want you to do that you don't want to do. So they said, "Dr. Lowry, aren't you a man of God? Don't you have enough faith to believe that God can get you here in that plane?" And I always say the same thing. I said, "You don't understand. It's not a matter of faith. I have enough faith. It's not that I don't have enough faith. The problem is this. You don't have enough plane. That's the problem." See, it has nothing to do with your faith, my friend. It's what your faith is in. And the Bible says that Jesus has completed the work. He's the only one that can get you home. He can get you home. I do fly a lot, and I always, they ask me the same question when I get to the airport. They say, "How was your flight?" I always say the same thing: "Great. Takeoff and landings came out even." I mean, that's really all that matters, right? But you know what the flight I like? I like the flight that's coming back when I'm going home, especially when I've been on a long trip. When you know you're going home. And then when takeoff and landings come out even, you're home. The Bible says that Jesus is the only one that can promise at the end of life, he can take you home. And that's the only way you'll really have rest for your souls. Some of you need to keep coming. You're seeking. Some of you need to take today, and God's given you the faith to believe in Christ. Others, God's taught you something today. You've learned something, and now you need to put that into practice. You need to learn to relax.